Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 48, May 15th, 2012. Sauter, Shax, and Dayton, oh my.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Ham Nation. Bob and Gordo are on the road this week, headed to Dayton, and we'll be joining them later in the week. And to co-host tonight, we've got our good friend Don Wilbanks here. Say hello, Don.
Hello, Don. Is that my line? Hi, everyone. That's Don, AE5DW here in the South Mississippi, a couple of hours south of George. And we also have Amanda in here, too, in Colorado. Amanda, K1DDN. Hello, Amanda. How are you tonight?
Good evening, everybody. You know, I love being here, but I really wish I was on the road to Dayton right now.
I hear that. Well, I'll be on the road on Thursday, heading out Thursday morning. So, and George, when are you going up?
I'm heading out Thursday as well. Tommy from Amateur Logic and I are going to leave out of here Thursday morning and should be there about mid-afternoon. And boy, we're looking forward to a great time this year. We got some exciting announcements about Dayton later on in the show here tonight. And we're going to have Cheryl join us. I know Amanda and Cheryl have been out for the last couple of weeks, and it'll be good to have them back on tonight.
Absolutely. It'll counteract our ugly. That's what it'll do.
Yes.
And we have a great guest tonight as well. We have Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB from Lincoln, Nebraska. Joe is probably the most photographed person at Dayton, and he is the Cat in the Hat guy. He's also the kit building editor for CQ Magazine. He does the kit building forum at Dayton. He does the kit building column for CQ, and he does a whole bunch of really nice slideshow videos about Dayton, and we're going to have him on here as well. So it's going to be a full night. Don Arnold and Gordo's going to come in via video, and you with the chat room and smoke and solder and the contest and showing some shacks. And it's just going to be a great night here on Ham Nation. George?
It certainly is, Don. And Amanda, I understand you've got something special you want to talk about this week. Why don't you bring that to us now?
Thanks, George. And although I had asked for everybody else's input on what their top five essentials are for your ham shack, I think that they vary so greatly, it would be hard to compare. So you guys out there listening, watching, I really hope that you share what you feel your top five essentials for your ham shack are. Now, originally, Jeff was supposed to be here to be my cameraman, and we were going to go through our ham shack here, but unfortunately, he got called into work in an emergency. So you guys, I'll go through a little bit of this, what I can spin around and show you and stuff. And normally, I have a very clean desk when I'm on Ham Nation. Now, any other time of the day, it is not nice and tidy. And, you know, not all of us have the budget for wonderful shacks like Gordo and Bob. We wish we did, but I share my ham shack with my bedroom, which is right behind the camera here is my bed. And I would pan to that if I did have a cameraman. So anyhow, let's get to it here, you guys. What do you think is important for a ham shack? Well, it's really anything you need and want to get on the radio. So that being said, I have things such as even an envelope, if you can zoom into that. With call signs written all over it and times and dates that I've made those contacts. That's important to me. Any piece of scrap paper to write down the essentials of a contact you just made is important. Another thing that I find very important to me is the ARRL radiograms. Now, I know that you guys probably can't see the small type on these little notepads, but this is to pass traffic, emergency traffic, any other kind of traffic. Look into these because they're important. If you ever hear traffic and you have one of these, just take it, write your message on there, make sure you get it to the person that it belongs to. Works out wonderfully. And you can pass that via several people. So you don't have to notify the person that the traffic is for. And if you guys have any questions about learning about traffic, you guys definitely contact me via my personal email because I'll help you out with that. Now, another thing I have is just your normal HT. I have a Yaesu here. This used to be waterproof. I don't think that it is anymore because we did drop it out of our boat one time fishing and it did fry at one time, but we took it all apart and let it dry out, and it worked just fine after that. So, mwah to the handy talkies there. Also, you can see I have a couple of monitors here. Dual monitors really helps when you're trying to make some of those contacts, when you check into nets, things like that. On one screen, you can what I usually have up is QRZ, so I can type in any of the call signs that of people I want to know who I'm talking to. And on the other screen up above, I usually have my check-in list, things like that. So I can keep up with everything that's going on while I'm on the radio. Also, what I don't have here, but what you should have here, is a good book, especially if you are waiting in line to try to talk to, let's say, Yemen. Right now, that is a very popular station, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have been trying to get them. If you're sitting around trying to get through that pile up, have a book. Because it'll help pass the time while you're waiting. Also, right behind here, and I'll probably get out of the shot here a little bit, but I have my Kenwood TS2000. Underneath that, I have my antenna tuner. Very, very important to me. Love that. And, you know, up above here, I have a shelf. And you guys might be wondering why these Post-it notes are here. And, oh, excuse me. It's, I have these for a specific reason, and that's because I sleep in this room as well. And behind these Post-it notes are very bright lights that I cannot stand when I'm trying to sleep. So, of course, they don't look that bright on the computer screen, but when you're sleeping and it's pitch black in here, it doesn't work out so well. So, Don had a lot of different top fives, and his didn't have anything to do with so much radio equipment as much as it is a passion for ham radio, and also a very understanding spouse. So, Don, if you will remind me, what were your top fives for your ham shack?
Oh, man. Well, number one is what I'm sitting in, a very comfortable chair, because you're going to be spending a lot of time in here, and there's no sense in being uncomfortable. So a very, very comfortable chair. I rattled those off the top of my head, and I can't remember exactly what they are now, except for, like I said, a very comfortable chair and an understanding wife, because, or spouse, as the case may be, because you're going to be in here for a while. And something else that is always nice is to make a record of the contact is a whole bunch of QSL cards, and there's mine right there with the famous.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
The famous tattoo. There's the shot right there. I'm going to have a stack of these at Dayton with me too, in case anyone wants one. So. But anyway, yeah, that's the actual photograph of the actual tattoo. So, yeah, it's important to have those QSL cards to send them out, because that is, of course, the final courtesy of the contact, right?
Absolutely. And I forgot, of course, right above my head, you guys, is Jeff's QSL card. And here's my QSL card. Of course, I do my own printing, so I'm trying to get that straight. Sorry. So I make very lovely cards for myself. By the way, Don, wonderful card. Looks really good.
Thank you.
Affording being able to send all those cards out, though, is rough. And Jeff and I are getting ready to move, so I felt like I should share this shack with you right before it goes away, because next week we're going to be moving and we're going to have a brand new shack, and it will no longer be shared with our bedroom, which I'm really thrilled about. So custom desks, the whole nine yards, going all the way on that one. So with that, you guys, George, you didn't share with us what your top fives are. I bet it's including a soldering iron.
Well, I didn't think about that. Right off, I would say it's going to be a radio, a power supply, an antenna, an SWR meter, and one of my top five things that not everybody can have because of their living situations is an actual ham shack. I've got a little building out here beside the house that's my ham shack, my office, my video studio, my everything room that I can't do in the house. And that really works out great for me because I get kind of noisy sometime after everyone's gone to bed. Amanda, we appreciate you bringing those items to us. I wasn't counting. I think you came up with more than five. And, boy, if I sat down, I think I would come up with a lot more than that as well.
I agree. And what I finally came up with and what I decided was your top five is whatever you need it to be. But don't forget, have that license on your desk somewhere, which mine is taken down right now because it's sitting in a box ready to go over to the other place. But I wanted everyone to know that you don't have to have an immaculate shack to be able to be on the radio. And there are us people that can't afford everything in life. This desk is from 1992 from Walmart. So you don't have to have the best of everything to be able to get on the radio. That was kind of my point tonight, you guys. So thanks for letting me share that with y'all.
All right. Thanks, Amanda.
Good idea.
And Don, you've got a special guest with us tonight here. Why don't you introduce him to us?
I do. I have known Joe Eisenberg, KZNEB, for a number of years. I met Joe through Amateur Radio Newsline and Bill Pasternak. And Joe and I have roommated at the Huntsville Hamfest many years. The last couple of years, my wife and son have come with me. So, of course, Joe's been locked out, but he's had to fend for himself. But let me introduce to you Joe Eisenberg, KZNEB, from Lincoln, Nebraska. Put the hat on, Joe, because we've got to see the hat. You are the cat in the hat. There it is. That is the famous hat that makes Joe, besides the helmet tower guy, probably the most photographed person at the Dayton Hamvention. If you stand there trying to talk to Joe for any length of time, you end up having all kinds of little flashes in front of your eyes because people will come by and say, "Oh, excuse me, can I get a picture? And trying to hold a conversation with Mr. Eisenberg at Dayton is almost like trying to hold a conversation with Bob Heil or Gordon West at Dayton, because he is almost as popular. And Joe, welcome to Ham Nation. It's good to have you on here.
Well, thank you, Don. It's a pleasure to be here and let you see a glimpse of my shack with the TS 2000, the FT 450, and an ICOM 706. So I've got one of each of the big three. But the most fun radios here are the kit radios that I put together. In fact, here's one. I'd like to call this my fisherman's friend. Let's see if that shows up pretty good.
Because, of course, kit building is what you're known for. You moderate the kit building forum at Dayton, and you also write the kit column for CQ Magazine.
Yep, I do. And that was kind of funny how that came about. In fact, it came about in your car. Rich Moses and W2VU, yes, who is the editor of CQ Magazine, asked me while we were driving to a restaurant in Huntsville if I'd like to write a monthly column for CQ. And I was kind of flabbergasted at first, if you remember. And then he said, send me a couple of samples and we'll see how it goes. And after him sending sending a couple of samples, he emailed me back and said, that's November and December 2009. Just keep going and we'll see how this goes. Well, about 3 months after that, he emailed me and told me that it's caused a problem. And that is the reader survey cards inside CQ Magazine did not have a blank for your favorite aspect of amateur radio to be kit building or home brewing. And they said that over 29% of the people filling them out during that month wrote in kit building because it wasn't on the card. So they had to reprint the card. So I think we've had a pretty good effect.
I think so. And I've been to your kit building forum at Dayton, and it's a lot of fun. Joe will go out and he will find the coolest things in the flea market that will help you build your kits. And he goes and he buys this stuff and he comes back and he shows you. He says, look, this is right out in the flea market. It's in booth number X and X and X, or so-and-so has it. And it's $3 and you can't do without this. And you go out there and you find it. And literally, Joe has a million different tips to make your kit building experience so much better. And of course, he puts a lot of it in CQ Magazine, which is really nice because it's fun to go to the kit building forum at Dayton, but it's also nice to have that in CQ Magazine. Now, another thing that you're known for at Dayton, I guess, is pictures. You photograph literally everything. And tell us what you do with those pictures, Joe.
Well, what I do before it's time to go to Dayton, usually just after the last one, I start listening to songs on the radio. I have a 45-minute daily commute, 50 miles from Lincoln to Omaha every day for work. So it gives me time to listen to the radio and hear different songs. And sometimes I hear a song that just might work, because there aren't very many songs written about amateur radio, but there's a lot of songs that can help tell the story of the Dayton Hamvention. So what I do is I carefully set the photos to the words to the songs. And the original idea of this was in PowerPoint years ago to give presentations to the radio clubs in this area of the Midwest to show what went on at Dayton. But once YouTube came out, it became kind of a thing of its own. And everybody wants to know. One of the things they ask when they see the hat is, what are this year's songs? Well, this year's songs will be Band on the Run and Gimme Dat Ding. And Gimme Dat Ding is kind of a novelty song from the early 70s. It's only 2 minutes and 10 seconds long, but that's going to be a real fun one to make. And then Band on the Run, well, that you'll see how I put it together, and you'll see what happens. Now, a little over a year ago, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association flew me back there to Dayton just to show some of my old photos from the 70s and 80s and some of my current slideshows and tell them how I put it together and what goes into them. And so I did that, and at the end of the presentation that evening, the Dayton Amateur Radio Association made me a life member of DARA. So I am actually a full life member of the Dayton Amateur Radio Association.
That is very, very cool. And I always look forward to seeing you every year, both at Huntsville and at Dayton, and we just have the best time. And literally, I come back, and I cannot wait to look for this year's slideshows. And they say that imitation is the greatest form of flattery. There are a bunch of people out there now that are doing these slideshows besides you, but I think you were probably one of the first ones that got that started, weren't you?
Yes, I was. And there are a lot that are there. In fact, a couple of them at the end of their first show give credit to me. They'll say, thanks to KZRNEB for getting this started. And several of them will slip a picture of me in their slideshows as kind of a tribute. So that's a lot of fun. You'll notice a lot of things.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You'll notice a lot of things. There's kind of little hidden things in the slideshows. There's subtle references to previous shows and future shows in them. And I would say it's been since 2000 I've been making slideshows, but in the current format that you can see on YouTube, it's been since 2004. There's a good example of one
right there. There's the YouTube
on there. Yeah. And what's interesting about that one is you can see pictures of Hare Arena before and after. And the way I did that was when Dara sent me there in March to speak to them, I went over to the arena and took some pictures so I could show the same shot position of the arena before Hamvention and then during Hamvention. And what I want people to do is when they watch the slideshows to listen very carefully to the words of the songs, and you can get a really a better idea of what I'm trying to portray in the slideshows. I know some people use Shazam or other programs that let you look at the lyrics of the songs so that you can figure out what's going on.
And that's a good choice because we are all working for Dayton weekend right now, too. That's exactly. Good stuff. I love those things, Joe. I really do.
Yeah, and what's really fun, the one that was probably the most difficult to produce I did in 2010, and that was Girls Just Want to Have Fun. And the reason was is that a lot of women don't like to be photographed, but almost every one of the ones that I photographed in that slideshow, and I took several pictures to do it, instead of my normal 1,400 or 1,200 pictures, I took 1,400 to 1,600 photos that year to get the right facial expressions, and almost every one of them came up to me and said, I love the way you caught my facial expression. Can you email me that photo? And so I spent a lot of time emailing. So, and that's the crew at the Waffle House. We always like to salute the Waffle House because I always have breakfast there.
And they always have the special Waffle House shirts every year that you can go in and buy as well, which is kind of cool. I've got a few of those.
Yes, they do. And by the way, I know you guys are leaving on Thursday. I actually go at 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Wow. Yeah, you're going to get a head start on me. 6 a.m. Thursday morning, me and my three friends are getting on the getting on the 12-hour drive up there. So, okay, now let's switch gears, getting back to kit building a little bit, and we've got to bring George in here because, of course, George with Smoke and Solder perfectly dovetails with kit building. George, do you have anything to ask or to add to Joe while we have him here about kit building and the dovetailing with your Smoke and Solder stuff?
Well, Joe, I really plan on visiting with you a little bit while I'm in Dayton this weekend, and I want to come by and see what all you've got there. But I just have one question before you go, and that is, will you have a warm soldering iron on hand?
Yes, I will. Yes, I will. In fact, I'm helping with the kit building group at 4 Days in May on Thursday night. That's why I'm going a day early, and we're doing a four-hour kit build with Rex W1REX.
Great. Good to see you, Joe, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in Dayton in a couple of days. Don, who have we got next on the agenda here?
All right, Joe, thanks a lot. Again, Joe Eisenberg, KZRNEB from Lincoln, Nebraska. We'll see you in a couple of days up at Dayton. Looking forward to it. Thanks for being here, Joe. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Up next, we have Cheryl Lassett, K9BIK. She's sitting in my usual chair this week. We've got her with Amateur Radio Newsline. Cheryl, go ahead.
From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1813, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Tuesday, May 15, 2012. We're not sure if it's a new world altitude record for a ham radio-equipped high-altitude balloon, but members of the Anacapa Near Space Exploration Club at California's Anacapa School are celebrating the recent success of their second near space probe, one that reached an altitude of almost 112,000 feet. Anacapa Amateur High Altitude Balloon 2 was designed and built entirely by students that included Alex Carlson, KJ6UGF, and Genevieve Hatfield, KJ6UGH. They, along with non-hams Grayson Bagiolini, Julie Bernal, and Christian Eckert, made up the construction and launch team that was under the supervision of faculty advisor Levy Mai, K6LCM. As the balloon climbed through the thinning air, the decreasing atmospheric pressure caused it to expand nearly 10 times in diameter. On reaching its apex above California's Central Valley, the balloon burst, sending the payload back to Mother Earth under the canopy of a small parachute. By reaching an altitude of 111,814 feet, this flight shattered the record of the group's own first balloon flight by more than 20,000 feet. Over the coming weeks, the students expect to thoroughly document the flight and analyze the collected data. More information, including photos and a condensed version of the in-flight video, can be found in the web address in the printed edition of this week's Amateur Radio Newsline report. The FCC has released a notice of proposed rulemaking that, among other things, would raise the cost of obtaining a vanity call sign to $15 for a 10-year license term. The current cost is $14.20, which in essence means an increase of only 80 cents if the rulemaking is approved. Registration for the 2012 International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend has topped the double century mark. This with word that the Westside Amateur Radio Club of Los Angeles is the 200th registrant for this year's event, with its members operating station, W6A, at the Port Furman Lighthouse located near the San Pedro Port area of the city. The entry by the Westside Amateur Radio Club puts the USA at 28 registrations. Australia is so far number one with 38, followed by Germany with 33, England with 16, and the Netherlands sporting 13. The total of nations committed to the event so far is nearly 30. International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend will be held on August the 18th and 19th. Find out more or register your lighthouse by visiting illw.net. Tom Medlin, W5KUB, will once again be streaming live television from the 2012 Dayton Hamvention. Tom will begin his live webcast on Wednesday morning, May 16th at 0800 Central, broadcasting his 550-mile drive. He will then set up shop in the Hamvention Flea Market and will spend the next 3 days bringing you the sights and sounds of Hamvention 2012 before live casting his drive home. While on the web from Ham Nation, Tom and his crew will be interviewing some of Ham Radio's best-known celebrities. This includes television producer John Amadeo, NN6JA, of the hit television comedy Last Man Standing. So if you cannot be at Hamvention in person, you can enjoy part of the festivities vicariously by tuning in via the internet to W5KUB.com. Again, that's W5KUB.com for this year's live netcast from Hamvention 2012. Also, a reminder that we at Amateur Radio Newsline will once again be hosting the annual Ham Radio Town Meeting at Hamvention 2012. This year's topic is titled, Imagining the Future, Ham Radio in the Year 2112, and takes an optimistic look at the way we might be operating as a hobby and a service 100 years from now. This year's presenters include CQ Magazine editor Rich Molson, W2VU, IARU Secretary Rod Stafford, W6ROD, and teenage ham radio high-altitude balloon enthusiast Aaron King, AK4JG, to name only three. They will be joined by several other notables from the world of amateur radio on a journey through time into what may be our future. Look for us on Saturday, May 19th, in Meeting Room 2 at the Hera Arena. Our session runs from 11:45 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we promise you a fun and an imaginative time. We hope to see many of you there. That's all from Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news, brought to you each and every week for nearly 35 years at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Cheryl Essek, K9BIK 73, and we'll see you next time on Ham Nation.
Great job, Cheryl. Thank you. I'll hopefully be back in that chair next week, because it's a little less stressful, I think, doing those doing the Ham Nation videos than it is sitting here doing it live. First time I've ever done this, and just having a great time. George, thanks for sitting in the chair with me. And speaking of Cheryl, let's look at the chat room and see what is going on with the chat room, because I know that there has to be just a ton of activity in the chat room. I can't see it right now because I'm a little busy, but Cheryl, come on in and tell us what's going on in the chat room.
I'll tell you what. Hi, everybody. How are you doing tonight? It's great to be here with everyone. I wanted to say hi to Don and hi to George and hi to Amanda. And I just wanted to say the big the items that are flying around in the chat room, I got to tell you, it's mainly about, should I go to Hamvention? Is it worth it if I just go for one day only? That's kind of what they're talking about. Well, I'm going to go or I'm not going to go. And is it just good if I just go one day? What do you think? Is it a lifetime experience if I miss it? That kind of thing is going on. So can you tell them a little bit more about the big Dayton Hamvention? What is that like?
Well, I can tell you, from my experience, my first year was 1999. My friend Steve, N5SC, and I decided we were going to go because it might be the only time we ever get a chance to go. And so from 1999 until 2008, we went every year. And the biggest group we had at one point was 8 or 9 people going with our group. And since 2010, I've gone on an every other year thing. But no, every ham has to go to Hamvention at least once. And I guarantee you, you go once and you're going to want to go every year. So yeah, it's the biggest ham fest in the world. It's where all the cool stuff is. It's where all the new stuff is announced. And yes, you have to go to Hamvention. George?
Well, I think I'll agree, Don. I'll have to let you know next week. I've been a ham for 21 years, and this will be my first year ever to go to Dayton, and I'm really looking forward to it. I'm carrying a large suitcase without a lot of stuff in it, so I've got room to bring some things back with me.
Well, they ship as well. That's the cool thing is all the vendors ship as well. So that's another good thing. Is I carried around an HF radio a few years ago, and I'll never do that again.
I can imagine. Boy, that probably got heavy before it was over with.
It did.
Well, Cheryl, have we got another question?
Well, like I say, it looks like I tried to prod them to say, give me some questions in the chat room, and they haven't been too talkative that way, other than going back and forth and saying hello and so forth. So does anybody have a question in the chat room that you want to give me on the line live right now? I can answer something if it's on your mind, guys. Don't be shy.
There you go. Got to hear from you. Chat room is a huge, huge part of this show. And without you guys, we wouldn't, we'd just be sitting here talking to ourselves. So absolutely.
What's
let us know
hotel?
What's on your mind.
Well, Cheryl, why don't we come back in a little while and see if we've got anything else going on in the chat room. Right now, we've got a video that Don Arnold and Gordo made recently and sort of related to Dayton.
Hi there, Gordon West, WB6NOA with Ham Nation, and welcome to The Shack. This is sort of a pre-recorded, pre-Ham Nation show, pre-Dayton in just about 3 days, and all of us are getting ready for the big Dayton Ham Mention this coming weekend. And with me in The Shack is Don Arnold, W6GPS, Mr. Global Positioning System. And Don's got some great stuff to preview before we see it this weekend at Dayton. So come on in. I know my shack is a mess, but let's see what Don has for a great demo this evening on Ham Nation. Don?
Thanks, Gordo. This is Don, W6GPS, and today we're going to give a short demonstration, hopefully without any errors, with the AVMAP G6 APRS, Bionics TinyTrack TNC, and the radio that I like to use with the Bionics TinyTrack is the Kenwood V71. Yeah, anytime when I get something new, I always make it a point to come to Gordo's Junko Shack.
Oh, that hurt.
Oh, Gordon, come on. Man, I'm telling you, if the OSHA, the health inspector, were to come by here, he'd condemn the place. There's more electrons and cat hair and antiques. There's more antiques. I mean, I ain't seen one of those things in as long as I can live. And don't you just love Gordo's custom lighting? But anyway, what we're going to do is we're going to do some basic setup on how to program a Bionics TinyTrack 4. And we're going to be using it with the AVMAP G6 and the Kenwood V71. So we're going to do a little close-up, little handwork, model work, although these are not model hands. Okay, so here is a TinyTrack 4, and you're going to need one of those, and you order that from bionics.com. He's got all the cables you're going to need. Speaking of cables, they're pre-made cables that plugs into the TinyTrack. You can either get them with cigarette lighter plugs or with Anderson plugs. Now, the one that I've gotten is the mini DIN plug for the data port on the V71. So, the other thing that you're going to need is what they call a null modem cable. Did I say cable? What did I say?
I don't know, but you muttered that word.
Anyway, but it's a programming cable, and what it does is it goes on the end of the TinyTrack right here. Make sure you can't mess up because it's male and female ends. So you plug it on there just like so. And what we're going to do is we're going to program the TinyTrack first with the software. And all this you can get at the Bionics website, www.bionics.com. All right, I've kind of jumped to the computer. Yeah, you're going to have to know about computers.
Wait a minute. Do you mean we have to do this ourselves? Can you get someone to help?
Oh, no, this is real easy. But the one thing that people get confused about is the COM port.
Okay.
So what we've done is I've jumped to my device manager page, and in there where it says ports, I open up ports, and I'm taking my wherever I left it.
See, it got buried in the Gordo Shack.
I know, it got difficult, folks.
There it is.
So I got my Prolific serial to USB. Let's just plug that in here. And we notice right here it says serial, USB to serial COM port number 1. Okay, you want to remember that. All right, now then, we're going to jump to the programming software. So basically, the alpha configuration, there's just a few things, basic things that you want to program to get the TinyTrack running. So first is the call sign. So I'll put my call sign in there. I like using smart beaconing, so you check smart beaconing. And then up here on the ports tab, we're going to click over to ports, and we need to switch these both to GPS and 9600. This is just for the configuration I'm using. We go to the GPS page. Now this is real important. Because the AVMAP is using a Kenwood sentence, we want to switch this from NEMA to Kenwood, because a Kenwood sentence triggers all the hundreds of icons. If you have it set to NEMA, it's only going to be 2 icons on the AVMAP. Waypoint length is 9. I like send waypoint for self. It's already checked, But that way, as you're beaconing down the road, you can actually see your call sign on the AV map, just to verify that you are outputting to the AV map. Now, this one is where it's real important to turn on, because this allows a messaging interface. You know, Bob Berninga has he's instituted a texting and messaging initiative with APRS. APRS is just not position reporting, but it's status. So by turning on the PAV-P mode, AVMAP and Bionics have worked to develop their software so we have an easy messaging interface. And then basically that's about it. So then when you get ready to, you got to get ready to program it. You have to take and stand by just a second. We've got the tiny tract hooked up to the programming cable. We've powered it up, and what we need to do is we need to go over here to write configuration. When we write configuration, it says open COM port 1. Remember how important I was? I told you to remember the COM port?
You told me that.
All right, so you make sure the COM port matches your COM port on the tiny track. Now then, what we're going to do is we're going to remove the power. This tells the tiny track to go ahead and read and write the configuration. So as I plug it in, you'll see that the files is being transferred into the tiny track. Okay, now that we've got the tiny track 4 programmed, we're going to take a interface cable. This is a DB9 female to a special 4-pole AVMAP plugs. And AVMAP sells this on their website, this cable. So once it's connected, you have it all connected. Okay, the lights here are very important on a tiny track. It gives you some status. The blue is a power light. The amber is a carrier detect. This shows APRS packets decoding. The green is a GPS a valid signal. And the red, and I'm going to trigger a forced beacon by removing the power. The red is actually the transmit. So now it's transmitted. So we can take here, we can zoom in, and you can see the different types of beacons. And what you can do with the radio that's real simple is just default the radio, and the data band will be on the B side, and just change the frequency to 144.39, not 144.652 or 146.58. You know what I mean. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. Okay. Any simplex frequency, I'm sure 5.2 and 5.8, they would not want to hear APRS squawks.
No. So make sure it's 144.39. And for you people in Europe, it's 144.80. And there's other frequencies, but find the APRS frequency for your country. So that's how it's basically hooked up. But the main thing that we want to talk about with the Tiny Track 4 and the AVMAP is the messaging. So let me get to the messaging menu right here. Go to APRS, messages. You could create a new message here. And I'm going to say hello.
He's a very slow typist.
Yeah, I know. Don't do this while you're driving. Hello, but, Carl.
Yes, don't do it while driving. And as we get ready for Dayton, Don is simultaneously packing at the same time.
Yeah. Change there. You can put the call sign in. Okay, what I've done is I've forced a beacon to an iGate here in Southern California. It's real important to know that in order for a message to pass, we need to know where you're at. So I've just set a beacon, and I'm waiting for my friend Carl up in Cleveland, W8KRF, and I've asked him to send me a message. Okay, there you go. It says, looking forward to Hamvention. See you there, 73. So I can hit read. And one nice thing at the AVMAP pass, and I hope you can hear this, is you can actually have it read to you. So I can hit reply. I'll just say good one, because I'm such a speedy typer. Hit the send button, and we'll send a reply back to him. Now, so I've sent a message to Carl, and I can go back in here into my message menus. I can see messages received, messages sent, and outgoing messages. And so the system will keep sending a message several times until the station receives the message, and I get an acknowledgement. Go to www.bionics.com, and that's where you can see all the different cables and interface cables for handy talkies and VHF radios if you want to use your tiny track.
Look at the time. Wow, I'm late.
What? Man, you just messed up.
I'm going to Dayton, and
you messed up my shot.
Well, that's the way it is. So, Donnie, clean up the shack when I'm gone, and I'll see you in Dayton in two more days, okay?
What kind of host is this? Walks out on me. Now he wants me to clean up his shack. Back to you.
Well, when you're done there, you can come over here too. So, yeah. That's excellent. I love Don Arnold. The Don and Gordo show, that's just the best.
Oh, yeah. And Don. Don and Don. Okay. Yeah, exactly. I think both of them are on their way to Dayton now. I know Gordo is, and Bob is on the road, because I saw earlier today where someone had talked with Bob on 2 meters, and they did a post on Google Plus about it. So we know Bob's on the road for sure anyway, and hopefully they'll be arriving in there tonight sometime. And, boy, we're going to have a great time there. But keep moving along here. I had a little short smoking salter for this week. It's a very short one because we've got a really packed show today. So, Alex, if you've got the video there, let's take a look at this. Every now and again on Smoking Salter, we like to take a look at test equipment. And this week I've got a great little program for you called SoundCart Oscilloscope. SoundCart Oscilloscope is just what it says. It's an oscilloscope you run on your computer that's fed by the computer's sound card. And as you can see here, it does a pretty nice job. You've got several options on it, just like you would on a normal oscilloscope, but there are a few others. Now, this is a dual tray scope, so you could have two separate signals running into it. Now, there's also a nice XY graph that you can see that would draw a Lycurgus pattern if I was running tones in here. Since I'm feeding it a stereo signal, but both channels are approximately the same, we've only got this one diagonal line running across here. If we were running pure stereo material into it, you would see this branch out a lot more. And there's also a frequency analyzer in it, or we would call it a spectrum analyzer. And this shows you the frequency content of the waveform that's going in. You can see right here on my voice, there's a lot of peaks down here in the bass range, and a couple of more up here a little higher. Now, if I was to put some high frequencies in it, like an S, you'd see that come up here in the top end range.
Oh, my God.
So, nice little frequency analyzer. This could have a lot of different applications. There's also a signal generator built in that we can use to produce tones and noise. We'll select white noise here and start it up. Now, it's two channels, so we can produce two different tones with this thing. We'll select sine wave for both sides and feed in a couple of different frequencies and take a look at that. And this is a Lycurgus pattern, which is what you would expect to see if you had more than one frequency of tone coming into the unit on the X and Y axis. Now, there's some extra options on here that you can use for recording audio, and there's a settings tab as well that lets you choose which input devices you want to use and the sample rate, as well as a few other options. So this is a great little program. If you'd like to play with an oscilloscope, I highly suggest you check out sound card oscilloscope. You can find the link to the program in the show notes. That's a fun little piece of software, and you ought to check it out. There's several different types of programs like that available on the internet, and we may look at some of them in the future, but that's the one I was playing with this past week. Don, wasn't that a lot of fun?
Yeah, I remember having an old oscilloscope many, many years ago. It was a rack mount job, and it was the one time I really, really came close to being electrocuted. I had bought this thing at a garage sale, and I had it plugged into the wall, and I reached in, and I actually went across B-plus from fingertip to fingertip, and that thing made a huge dent in the ceiling of my mother's ceiling, as I said a really bad word. And that was the last time I fooled with an oscilloscope like that. And so I prefer to play with this kind of stuff now, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. It's a lot safer.
Battery power. Okay. B-plus is a exactly. lot lower. What do you say we give away something here? I've got a copy of this Constructing HF Wire Antennas book. We mentioned it last week. It's from Jerry Buston, KR7KZ. And I had a question that you needed to do a little calculating to figure out. We've got 12 volts for power supply, and we're feeding an LED that's only good for 2.25 volts at 28 milliamps. What value of R1 would you want to use there? And there's a couple of different ways to figure out the answer to that. The person who got it right was Kirk WB9FMC. Kirk, congratulations. You won the book. And quickly, to show you how you would calculate that, you've got the variations of Ohm's law here, your current voltage and resistance, and how to calculate them. What you'd want to do first is figure out the voltage across that resistor. So you know you got 12 volts total. What you would do is subtract the 2.25 volts for the LED. I can't do this backwards. And that's going to give you 9.75 volts. Once you know that, you can calculate the resistor value. So you would take the voltage, which is 9.75, divided by 0.028, which would be the current. And that tells you you got a 348 ohm resistor. So congratulations, Kirk. We appreciate everyone participating in this. A lot of people got it right, but a lot of people got it wrong, too, because it's a bit confusing unless you sit down and think about it. So let's give away something next week, and I believe what we're going to give away is another copy of The Artful Solderer, the book by Lee Tingler, the guy who brought us a solder buddy.
Very nice.
Well, let's see. What can we ask him, Don? Okay, what type of solder flux should you never use with electronics?
I know that one.
I know you do. Don't tell them.
I'm not, I promise.
So send your answer in for what type of solder flux should you never use with electronics to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and we'll see who wins next week. Don, what do you say we go back to Cheryl and let's see if she ever got any questions in the chat room?
Absolutely. And I've actually have an answer for one of the questions that she asked just before she left us the first time. Somebody said, what is the good hotel at Dayton? And it's not a hotel at all. The best kept secret for lodging is the University of Dayton. They open up their dorms because they're empty in the summertime. $103 a night is what we're paying. We've got a 4-bed dorm. We're splitting that four ways per night. Three nights, it's ended up costing us $77 per person for the whole stay for four guys for a 3-night stay at the University of Dayton. Check that out.
Wow. Cheryl?
Back to you, Cheryl.
That is really great about that information about the university there, Don. Excellent. You know, there was a question here, and I think I'm going to field this one myself here. Looks like they wanted to know if we would be live Ham Nation at Dayton. So this just in, I'd like to share this with everybody. Going out on a limb here, I guess that Leo Laporte had called and confirmed that the Tech Guy show from the Ham Nation booth will take place. That's booth number 106 on Saturday at 3:30 East Coast Dayton time. He appreciates everyone having everyone available at that time so we can have the Ham Nation team in view for the TWIT audience. So Saturday, it's 15:30 East Coast, the Ham Nation booth 106 and Audio Alley. And please be with the Ham Nation crew on Friday in Room 3 at 2 p.m. East Coast time for the Ham Nation Forum, where we invite all of you because we will ask you to give us some thoughts about your our first year of Ham Nation broadcast. And that's straight from Bob Heil. I wanted to share that, and you could hit the replay anytime you want those room numbers and times once again. And we had a another person in the chat room. I don't mean to go so fast from one to the next, but there's, you know, the time constraint here. KC4VBE, I just want to give you a salute to Steve. He's going to be flying to Dayton in a Navy F-18 from Seattle. And he wanted everyone to look for him on 2-meter simplex aeronautical mobile en route. I'm not sure how to do that. So that's one more person I wanted to say hello to. And that sounds great. I like F-18s quite a lot. So anyhow, we have a question too. Any tips for testing at Dayton? There's a lady that's actually going to take a test, her extra test. N4HAI said KC8OCB is going to take her extra test at Dayton. So any tips for testing at Dayton, anyone?
Study.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. I've never done any testing at Dayton, but I would imagine it's going to be a full room. So come and expect to be tested well, and expect probably to have a lot of extracurricular stuff going on while you're testing. I know they're going to try to keep it as quiet as possible, as all testing sessions are, but expect it to be a full room, and expect some distractions, I would think, at some place like Dayton. But if you got to get your extra, my God, what better place than Dayton, right?
Oh, yeah. And if you'd like to get tested by me, I'll actually be one of the VEs at the 9:30 session on Saturday. So come by 9:30 Saturday morning, take your extra or your general or your technician class license, and I'll be checking the test. And while we're talking about Dayton, there's a couple other things we wanted to mention here. The D-Star Forum is going to be Friday at 12:45 in Room 1, and that's going to be presented by John Hayes, K7VE. And Don, I think you've got something there on a special event as well, don't you?
I do. Amateur Radio Newsline is going to have their annual Ham Radio Town Meeting. It's going to be called Imagining the Future, Ham Radio in the Year 2112. Cheryl talked about that a little bit. It's going to be 11:45 a.m., Room 2 at Dayton, Ohio, in the O'Hara Arena there. Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, will be there, of course. Rich Moseson from CQ Magazine will be talking about ham radio. There is a future. Another thing we'll talk about, ham radio, the first 100 years. W6ROD, Secretary of the IARU, will talk about the future of international regulation. We'll talk about new trends in digital ham communications. We'll have a teenager's look at ham radio in 2112. We'll imagine ham radio 100 years from now with Henry Feinberg, K2SSQ. Henry is the guy who developed the communicator that E.T. used in the movie. He actually built that and designed it. So we'll have door prize drawings and a grand prize from Heil Sound, and it's always a great time, George.
Yeah, and, you know, there'll be a lot of new products introduced at Hamvention. One in particular that people have been watching is the new Kenwood HF rig that's coming out. I believe it's the TS-990, so you'll want to stop by the Kenwood booth and check that out. You'll also want to stop by the ICOM booth and look at the new IC-31A. That's the new UHF D-Star rig that's supposed to be really easy to operate, has a repeater directory and all kind of functions already built into it. They're also going to be showing the new IC-2300H. That's another nice rig. And they're going to be showing a brand new product there that works with the RSBA-1 software package. This will be the RC-28, if they've got one by then. It's a brand new product, and I was talking with Ray, and he said he didn't know if he'd have one in hand or not. But what that is, it's a remote control unit with a jog wheel on it that you can use for controlling the rigs over the internet with your computer, and you've got a physical knob that you can turn for your VFO there. And also, I'll be in the ICOM booth doing a presentation at 11 a.m. on Friday morning. So if you're around, drop by and say hello and see what kind of smoke and solder I'm trying to blow there.
Absolutely. And I believe Friday morning at 9 a.m., right as the show opens, I'm going to be up at the ICOM booth. Ray Novak has asked me to make the big-time announcement. And I don't even know what that is yet, but I'm going to be up there enjoying that. So we'll see. We'll learn all about that together. Something else that's going on, KB4HQA from HQA Radio, Tom Samasico, they're bringing over 20 hours of live contest cam streaming on the web from the Crown Plaza in downtown Dayton. That's the official contest hotel. The live stream includes a dedicated chat room. You can have fun all weekend, even if you're not going to be in Dayton. Starting tomorrow, Wednesday, you can go to contestuniversity.com, click on the live stream, the cam button. That same live streaming contest cam web link is used for all the Crown Plaza live stream activities for all 4 days. There's just going to be something going on every day. The CTU professor presentations coming up on Thursday. Thursday night live, the contest cam stream will be from the contest super suite. Friday night, two presentations. The top band dinner will be streamed along with all kinds of other stuff. The Spurious Emission Band live performance starts at 10:30 p.m. I believe on Friday night, Saturday evening, starting around 7:30, they'll be on the air from the Dayton Contest Dinner in the Presidential Ballroom, and this is all at contestuniversity.com. So all kinds of stuff going on streaming. George?
Yeah, and if you can't make it to Dayton this year, you're not totally left out. There are some streaming resources that you can check it out with. We mentioned earlier, Tom Medlin, W5KUB, will be there this year for his 10th year in a row of streaming live from Dayton. He's actually going to start out tomorrow at 1300 UTC, and he'll be broadcasting as he's driving his 550-mile trip up to Dayton. This year he's going to give away over $8,000 in prizes, so you want to check in on his stream and get your name in the hat for that. And he also plans to stream in high def on a KU-band internet satellite, the same one that Bob has been using in his new Springfield residence. It's the Viasat system. And let's see, he starts giving out prizes tomorrow morning. So go to W5KUB.com to learn more about that and to watch his live stream. Also, a couple opportunities additionally to see some Hamvention coverage. As we mentioned earlier, we'll be streaming live during Leo Laporte's Tech Guy show, which will be on Saturday at 3:30 p.m. We'll be on for about 10 minutes with Leo and just give him a little update on what's going to be going on at Hamvention, since he won't be able to be there this year. And also, Tommy and myself from Amateur Logic will be doing some live streaming from the Ham Nation booth at the Dayton Convention Center. We're going to have a Viasat set up there as well, and it's a last-minute preparation here, so please be patient with us, but Tom is going to be out KUB in the flea market, and we'll be streaming from inside the convention center. To learn more about that, as the details come in, you can go check at amateurlogic.tv/Dayton. Don, I believe that's about to wrap it up here, isn't it?
Oh, just about. We've got one question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, you guys. We didn't ask Cheryl what she thought her top five was.
Cheryl, quickly.
Oh, top five. Excellent antenna, mandatory. Perfect microphone, another mandatory item. You don't have to have the best radio. It's nice to have some software to program your radio with. That would be a top one of the top items. And let's see. Always good to have a map so you know the different zones. I think that's kind of a good item to have around when you're on the air. And I just wanted to remind everybody that it's Ham Nation at Hamvention in Dayton, booth 106 in Audio Alley. So please check everybody out. I'm sorry I won't be there. So say hi to everybody else and have a great time in Dayton. And everybody will be there to greet you and take care of all your questions and stop by to make sure you say hi. And I hope you have a great time there for your first Hamvention there, George. It's great that you're a VE there and doing all the other things too. And thanks, Don, for all your input and help, and George too, for the debut here earlier. And that's all I have for now. Have a great evening and come back and join us again on Ham Nation.
Excellent. Thanks, Cheryl. We look forward to seeing you again next week. And Amanda, We look forward to seeing you again, too. I don't know what else is going to be on, but we hope to have you two on again with us for our Dayton wrap-up next week.
Absolutely. That Hamvention booth is going to be the place to be. The Ham Nation booth is going to be the place to be. It's right there where Bob Heil always is in Audio Alley. That's where the Ham Nation booth is going to be. And also, coming up Friday from 2 until 3:30 in Room 3 is going to be the Ham Nation Forum. The whole gang's going to be there with behind-the-scene bloopers, part of the fun of doing a live internet program like this one. Just all kinds of cool stuff. Smoke and solder, and no telling what Bob and Gordo are going to have up their sleeves. Leaves or short pant legs or whatever you have it, but it's going to be a great time, and I'm really, really, really looking forward to this date, and probably more than any I've ever looked forward to, George.
Well, thanks, Don. I'm glad that you could join us tonight with the absence of Bob and Gordo, and it's great to have Cheryl and Amanda back again, too. But I believe that's it. We got a wrap here so the next show can come on in. Everyone, if you can make it to Dayton, do. If you can't, well, then check out one of the streaming resources we mentioned a moment earlier. Don, I had a lot of fun. How about you?
I had a ball, George. Thanks for making this fun. And Amanda and Cheryl and Joe Eisenberg, KZONEB, this has been just a great experience. And I hope I get to sit in this chair again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Don. Thanks, Cheryl. Thanks, Amanda. And everyone who watched tonight. And, of course, Joe Eisenberg as well. We'll see you again next week on Ham Nation. Bop, bop, bop.